Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns audio-produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Become a subscriber, become a friend of Charlquan, and get your name read on the air. Hey, we got a couple of $5 Patreons. They don't get a shout-out, but they get a little mini shout-out. We see you.
Yeah.
You're not John Cena. We see you.
I know this is hard times to be supporting us, but we do appreciate your support and it keeps us going. You know, like I've said this a few times, but we almost ended our show. But now that we're
Stop saying, why do you keep bringing that up? That's so fucking new to me. And you keep saying it. And usually you're much drunker when you say it.
I think it's just a good reminder that, like, hey,
you're guilting people into if you want to not be a Patreon, please don't let Willie's weird passive aggressive mind fuck
keep you around. I'm trying to say, hey, man, you really are responsible for our show. I mean, that's a big thank you. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, we're doing this for you now. Anyways.
All right, fair enough. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our guest and good friend, Jed Coley. Jed, what's up?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, doggy.
Doggy.
We're friends, but you're really Willie's friend because you guys grew up together, right? I mean, you're in the same class.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, like lower class, absolutely, for sure.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap. Wordplay.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Yeah, no, we moved into Loveland halfway through our freshman year. So I think everyone thought, I don't know, what was it, Willie? We were like European immigrants or something.
Well, it looks like Willie spilled a beer. I didn't know that about you. I thought you'd been around forever because I met all of Willie's friends through Kim.
Right.
Who's in your class? Kim is my sister. You guys are all in the same class. And so I met all of you guys at the same time, which was high school.
Right, exactly. I remember, like coming over and you'd be just, you know, wailing on the drum set.
So wait, where were you from before Loveland?
Born in Oklahoma, then at, what was it, 10, I think, we went to Florida, lived there a couple of years, then to Arkansas, lived there a couple of years, and then here.
All the hits.
You know, I want to tell the story of meeting Jed. I'll do it real quick. I was in choir. This was sophomore year or freshman year?
Yeah, here it goes, yeah.
Which one was it, sophomore or freshman?
It was freshman. It was in the middle because we had to sing. Cunningham told us we had to sing to
She be- did that? I didn't know you had to do that. Okay, so hold on. This is freshman choir halfway through the first semester. Yeah. So, like, these guys enter school late, these two twins. They're dressed like more colorful than anybody in the school. They walk in and they start singing a song to the class and they're like doing a good job. And then they start serenading women in the class while they're singing.
I think that was Jerry was very good at that. I was always that like really nervous kid.
I was like, who the fuck are these kids, man? Like these guys are like professional singers that are like, singing to specific women in our class. This is how they introduce themselves. I was like, who the fuck are these guys? Yeah, so it's funny because like I was very intimidated by you guys and I didn't think we'd be friends.
Yeah, I really didn't expect to be friends with anyone after that.
So the teacher, hang on, this sounds I didn't know evil. That. The teacher, she said you guys have to do this and then she didn't tell the rest of the class that she made you do it?
Oh, no. I mean, I remember it like it was... Yeah, like it was yesterday. My parents drove us to school. It was kind of our first day, like an orientation. It was sometime, I think, late January. I think we came in right as the second semester was starting. So it, not only was it like you didn't have this long break of Christmas, but it was actually into that second semester. So even more of a train wreck, right? And we walk up and our choir teacher, Miss Cunningham, comes out, a counselor knocks on the door and, you know, beckons her to come out to the hallway. Hi, this is Jed and Jerry Coley, and they're new to the school, and they want to be a part of the choir because they were part of this choir program.
And we had to try out. We had to, you didn't have to try out, did you?
That was the tryout.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she's like, well, if you guys want to be a part of this class, you have to come in and sing. And so I was like, this is but of course, you know, Jerry and I, we were 14 maybe. And of course we had like drawings on our wall of like band names that we would be, you know, like we had a couple buddies who we thought we were going to be like harmonizing, you know,
acapella group. Barbershop quartet.
We were dressed like we came off the stage of In Living Color. Like it looked like we were, you know, Two Snaps, all that and whatever. I mean, we had the rayon shirts and we looked like clowns.
You had different, your jeans had different color patches on them.
Totally. Oh yeah. And
that looked like a fabric crown.
Yeah. And you had to have like a turtleneck. I mean, it was a turtleneck with a bola.
Are you fucking serious?
Like a turtleneck with a bola or something, you know. Anyways,
hang on. Which of these previous cities had inspired you to
Arkansas? You know, and My parents moved us to like Springdale, which was right next door to Bentonville, which is like the home town of the Ku Klux Klan, right? And I'm thinking, this area is completely filled with urban wannabe white suburban kids, you know what I'm saying? And it's mothership of, you know, separation, you know, like racism and all that stuff. I was like blown away. But regardless, Jerry and I like, oh yeah, we had made a name for ourselves because we were actually pretty popular there doing stupid things like doing dance routines like Kid and Play, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, everyone thought that was awesome. So of course our first day was just like, okay, come in and sing this song. So we start singing something like, I don't know. It was like,
you got to remember what it was. You got to remember what song it was.
Well, I think there were probably a couple, but so Jerry was all about the spotlight. Right. And so
it's like 92, 93, something.
91. Like that. Oh, it was 92. 92 just started. 92.
Yeah. So, let's see here. So just kind of like radio, what's playing at that time? Like, and I'm talking like, R&B.
Yeah.
I don't know.
God, I mean, is Kiss from a Rose, is that a year later?
I think that's a little, no, actually that's probably somewhere, but no, it wasn't still, I mean, I'm talking really, you know, kind of like in your face, like raunchy kind of R&B. You know?
Oh, like Do Me Baby?
Yeah. Kind of like that. Like it was like almost something like.
Not the sexual, not anything sexual, but yeah, on par with that.
Yeah. Like Silk. Is that the name of the band? Silk?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
I'm looking at hits from 91, R&B hits from 91, because this is the beginning of 92, you said, right?
Something like that. Is there a group called Silk?
There's Silk the rapper, right?
Or Silk, a group called Silk or something.
I don't see anything. Okay. It didn't make the Billboard top 100 or whatever chart this is.
Yeah.
Like Jodeci?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jodeci.
Jodeci, right?
Forever My Lady.
Forever My Lady. Yeah, totally. Like, you know, have a kid with me. I want to have your baby kind of stuff. Yeah. And we're like sitting there going at it. Like just two of the most, I mean, we look very pale. We're skinny as hell. We're wearing Z Cavaricci's that are like, you know, like the MC Hammer kind of bloom out. And then it takes to that.
Wow.
I'm pretty hot, I'm guessing. I mean, pretty sure.
I can't believe
I could
this.
See why Willie was very
well. You guys looked really cool, though. Just, you know what I mean? Like, we're describing it as funny, but at the time, I was like, dude, these guys are.
I cannot imagine this being cool. I'm trying,
dude.
I'm putting myself in
hair too. Our hair was plat, and it had a wave. I remember doing a wave. It was almost like you put your side of your head here and you just spray.
Nobody really had a wardrobe that was eccentric, because the cool kids were athletes, so they wore gym shorts and a t-shirt, you know. So like these are like big city kids,
captains of like athletic programs in choir.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And but which is, you know, unique. But you know, when we came to Colorado, I was obviously searching for identity here, because I went from like wearing this like rayon clown shirt with buttoned up with a bola or whatever. And then within a year, I'm like listening to Pearl Jam and I'm all grunged out. You know, I've got the, you know, I've got the Doc Martens and the ripped bottoms.
Hey, so was the rest of the world, yeah, yeah. Man. That's yeah. what happened. It went from weird R&B to like really, you know, grungy grunge.
I know, but I mean, it just.
I'm glad I knew. I'm glad I didn't think that she told you to sing that song because I was like, wow, these guys are fucking ballsy.
Yeah, well, that, and I'm going to, once again, that was, I would not have done it. I would have said, I'm sorry, I'll just go take another English class, you know, because I was not that, I was very shy and insecure as hell. And Jerry, he's just like, in junior high, this guy's like getting like the, all the girls who every little 12-year-old kid is dreaming about, Jerry's just like, hey, what's up? And they'd fall all over him. And you're just like, what is your problem? I'm your twin brother, and this is not happening to me. Like, what? What is happening between, like, what are you doing and what am I not doing?
So you know? 20,
oh, you must 20 have years, so many complexes.
Oh, 20, totally. Well, you know, obviously, so when Jerry starts grabbing... It was Sheila Mudd, wasn't it?
Didn't yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Sheila.
Grabs her
she,
hand. And
she was like the like, hottest girl in the school, and he was singing to her. Yeah. He was like, whoa, I'm shit. Like,
this is obviously the key. Like, Jerry knows what he's doing, guys. Like, I will follow him into the dark. Like, let's go. So Jerry starts dancing around and singing, like, love sonnets. I think one time he stood up in the cafeteria during lunch and sing.
This can't be true. You guys, you don't live in High School the Musical. There's no way that
yeah,
if this were my class and somebody stood up in the cafeteria and started singing, they would be pariahs for the rest
dude,
of
you know
their
what's life. Funny? I was in choir for 9 years, including in college, and I was the only one that smelled like cigarettes in college. And I remember I was asking a girl to prom and I didn't want to sing to her because, like, I didn't have that confidence. So I had Jerry sing behind me, and I was mouthing the words. Jerry,
yeah. Shut up! No, you didn't. Yeah, no, you didn't. Yeah. That can't be true. How would she? Is she dumb? How did she not?
Oh, she I mean, must it was known. It was just a bit. I was, you know.
Oh, it's a yeah. bit. I'm sorry. I thought you were actually serranoing.
No, I think it was all about the. It was about the attempt. To do something, right? So it's
No, that's funny. Super funny.
If you built it correctly, you could pull it off, right? And Jerry was definitely the showman. He was really the kind of magician behind a lot of weird things. Like,
so now we're grown-ups and you're a teacher at that high school.
Yeah, right? How weird. So now I walk down, I literally am like, oh, cringe sometimes. I'm like, oh, shoot, I remember I remember some, you know, stories that, like, you know, only high school kids, you know, should hold in their memories.
Does everything look smaller to you, or is that only like a grade school thing?
I think that's a grade school thing, maybe, because Loveland High was, you know, okay, we're going to eventually get into dreaming, you know, interpretation, all that stuff.
So, well, we should quickly.
Some crazy stuff about, like, you know, this idea of like high school and like moving on and like showing up 20 years later and thinking like, I've got something to do and I've got to get to class, but all these walls are glassed or something, you know, like all these. And
okay. Well, hang on. Because that's a good, you being a teacher, everybody still has the same panic dream of like, oh shit, I didn't study for this test. I'm going to fail, even though they've been graduated for 20 years. So let's introduce a different test for you to take. It's called the WOW scale.
Okay.
It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question test, and it's graded on a spectrum from 0 to 5. If you're on the 0 side of the spectrum, you're more of a Wade. If you're on the 5 side of the spectrum, you're more of a Willie.
Okay.
Are you ready to take the WOW scale?
I'm excited. I'm very ready.
WOW scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
The tables have turned, teacher.
Oh no!
It's time for you to answer some questions without your book with all the answers in it. Okay, first question, 3-part question. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they ever visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Okay, I would say yes. I do believe in aliens. Can I ask? I know that this is probably something you get asked all the time. Can we define that? Is it single cell? Is it whatever?
Oh, you
can define it.
Yeah.
I can define it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think there has to be with this idea of infinite space, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I'd have to say it'd be kind of almost, I don't know. I think.
Okay. Let me define it then. Let's do like little green men that are on everybody's skateboard in the 90s.
Okay. No, I don't think it's like that. I think there is something living. I don't know that that's the outline of the exterior shell. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, yeah. Have they been to Earth? I think absolutely. I mean, with like this idea of, you know, whether we have already brought it or there's something, you know, like brought here through, I don't know. I'm going to say something like meteorites or something. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
Has it happened in the past 300 years? I would say, yeah. I mean, there's the possibility, but I won't say 100% yes, but yeah. I mean, I agree that it could be here. Yeah. So I'll say yes.
What do you teach?
I teach economics, history of the Americas, which is all, you know, from, you know, Canada all the way down to the tip of Chile.
From the north to the south, all of the Americas.
Follow those.
It's a two-year class. And then this year they added modern America and I think civics. So, you know, civic education.
Okay, so more practical stuff. I was just worried that you might be a science teacher or something like that.
No, I mean, I rely on more, like I always say, you know, the science is boring. It's all based on, you know, these possibilities. I mean, how boring is that? No.
But it's based on rigorous experimentation.
No, all right, and that's second the thing. Question. That's my big joke, yeah. So it's so funny,
all right.
Obviously, yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes. If you have like this idea of spiritual like awareness, you have to believe in ghosts.
Well, okay. Are you religious?
Yeah, I would say I'm religious.
What, were you raised religious in your nomadic upbringing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I watched
the Christian or
my life. Yeah, I mean, I guess we were kind of raised in Pentecostal, you know what Pentecostal, you know, what kind of,
always forget what that is. Sometimes I know. And then sometimes I forget.
So
is that like a chill one or a strict one?
Oh no. It's very like women in muumuu kind of outfits, not to expose anything. Like if you're having fun, the devil's behind it. Right. And so like I witnessed
it, like led to the Amish, right?
No, I think cause the Amish were, so there's the fraction of Protestantism during like the Great Awakening where there's, you know, the creation of Mormonism and, you know, Quaker and Amish had been here since like the dawn of like the colonies, right? They came over from, you know, Amsterdam and all that stuff. But
hang on, let me just stop you. We don't need a history lesson on
No, no, religion. I'm just saying, I'm saying to get to that point, right? Pentecostal is, oh, here we go again. The Pentecostal is just a sect of like Protestantism, just like, what you know, the flare out of all these different.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it just happens to be more strict.
So with all that being said, I guess when I ask, do you believe in ghosts? The question is more, do you believe that dead people are walking the earth?
Okay. I don't think I believe that.
Okay, then what is the spirituality answer that you had in mind?
Well, so if you believe that, you know, you can be if you're connected to, you know, this idea that maybe there's a heaven, or even like you're not taking it into the Western idea of religion, right? Let's say you're Buddhist or Hindu and you're working for enlightenment and that you have these multiple lives that are leading to a ultimate end of like, you know, euphoria, then you have to say that this idea of spiritualism exists, right? And if you say spirit, that's this like, you know, ghost, you know, I mean, we call it ghost, but
yeah, I see what you're saying that like in that realm, because like it's weird to me that like limbo, when I think of the word limbo,
right,
I'm like, it sounds, because it's been used in so many ways that aren't Limbo, but Limbo is actually a place that was created, I think, so that babies could, you could justify in your head that God wasn't so evil to allow babies to not get into heaven.
Right.
Limbo is a place where you go that is almost as good as heaven, but it's not. Because right, you weren't like, given a chance to choose to make
as
choices.
As much as I appreciate these all new fresh takes from Willie, like we really need to.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, yeah. He was all describing the train scene in Matrix, right? And that's exactly. That's, you
know, question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I don't think so.
And I'll just say this real quick. I'm friends with guy that.
Why are you extending this?
The train limbo guy. From the Matrix, like we're friends.
Really?
Yeah. Go on.
That's great.
We're friends with the train limbo.
Well, me and
guy
Sean are. He's the guy that in the Matrix 2 that's telling.
Yeah, the guy on the smuggler.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for interrupting the WoW Scale 10 name drop. The most pathetic. Name.
Oh no! I think it's hilarious.
You get no famous cred for that.
I don't want.
Question number four: do you believe in psychics?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like there's people who maybe are, that's weird. I mean, do we have to say strictly like telephone psychic, or do we have to say people who are?
It's more about just like any sort of like empath.
The power.
The power.
Not the way they abuse it.
Yeah, I feel like there's, you know, I feel like there's people who are more connected to that spiritual realm than others. I feel like there are things cult like that are wrapped around this idea.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say that would you ever go to a psychic, and not for a novelty sake, just would you ever actually go to a psychic and depending on what they said, like give it some stock or not?
No, I like leaving things as they sit. Like I don't want to know what.
Oh, you just wouldn't do it because, okay.
I wouldn't do it because I'm not seeking any, like, you know, buried treasure in the wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have this.
But that's
like,
where all the best buried treasure is, in the wall.
Well, that's, you know, true, like bodies, right? I mean, that's where you put them, you know.
last question. Are you superstitious at all?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I might have been young as a younger kid, but I like now find it a little bit like, you know, if I'm watching a sport and I see, you know, this same thing going over and over and I still see him strike out, I just can't do it. You know, like I just don't think superstition holds any weight in, I don't know, maybe, but I see how it could work as a placebo, right? But I don't feel like it's real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I think you're like you're probably a three. I think like it's you're more like Willie, but in a different way. You know, you like don't actually, I don't know, you're believing in all this stuff, but in a completely different way than Willie believes in it.
And that's right? Accurate. That's very accurate.
Yeah.
All right, Willie.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Tonight. On Real Life Sci-Fi. Dreams! Let's talk about the five leading theories of what dreams are and figure out if dreams actually can make a difference on what our future is. Is that too vague? Shit. Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, well, I guess let's jump in. What are the five, or how do you want to do this? Do you want to do Dave Letterman top five lists and we'll count them down or do you want to rattle them off right now?
I think we'll go through one by one. The five leading theories on what dreams are. We can do, I wanted to actually at first like analyze ancient dreams. There just aren't too many on record that I could find for free. You know, like
what do you mean? The ancient dreams that are on record?
Yeah. I wanted to find I wanted to have a list of what some ancient dreams were, but I could only find a couple. So it's like, well,
King Tut, dreaming about like a big slice of ham or something?
Yeah, like I imagine that the my thought of the idea of the show was that dreams from 4,000 years ago aren't much different from today, but there aren't specific records of dreams from 4,000 years ago. So, and if there are,
I mean, like, are there even specific records of dreams from now? Like if we die in 100 years, are people going to be like, what did they dream about?
There's so many people that have dream journals, you know, and that's been popular since, especially since Freud.
Yeah. But those people are nobodies. That shit's getting thrown in the trash the second they die.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Freud, you know, Freud really dominated the dream world because, and he's just one take, and we'll get into that, but it's like, well, whatever. Okay, so here the five leading theories and what dreams are. And this is from thecat.com, which...
No, but that's actually interesting to me. Like, I feel like dreams are impossible to chronicle through time because nobody cares enough about dreams to be like, these are the dreams of the 1820s, and these are the dreams.
The thing is that the you know, a lot of dreams from Native American or American Indian cultures, like those are definitely on record, but you got to do a lot of research because it's not just quickly Googleable.
And then you
Then
you probably start reaching into blogosphere a little bit, but.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, most of the things you get now are a popular blogger talking about it instead of the thing.
kind of funny. If dreams are the windows to enlightenment, we have betrayed that notion. Like we just don't care about dreams.
We really have. And it's weird because, I don't know. I mean, not to jump to the end of what this episode is.
No, don't jump. Yeah, don't jump. Let's start from the five.
Number
one.
What
are we doing? Freud is.
Well,
let's do number five and count them down.
Well,
I don't mean you have to start with five. I'm saying say it's number five.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Number five. Pragmatic prophecies. Right. So, basically, yeah, what that word is. There's this guy, Kelly, I can't say his name right, Bulkley. He was the author of Big Dreams, The Science of Dreaming and the Origins of Religion. And he basically talks about how the mind and the brain work together in a 24-hour cycle. And so dreams are a part of the brain function. And so basically pragmatic prophecies refers to the fact that your dreams are just your brain at work trying to work through the information it received while it was awake, but it is still part of that process. So like, oh, that, you know, that's interesting. It makes sense that, our brains work almost as much during REM sleep as they do when we're awake. So there was a weird process here that's happening. And we, being the brain that this is happening to, we may not ever be able to define what our brain is doing, you know?
Well, hang on. But then, because that's what I believe, that it's the brain processing like all the events of the day.
Yeah.
And like putting them in little Stephen King file cabinets so that when your dream catcher comes, you can like find the fucking right file or whatever.
Right.
But then did he say that it was the mind and the brain working together? So is he doing some kind of spiritual thing also?
A little bit. I didn't really get too deep into this dude. There was a quote I was going to read.
I mean, that I feel like there is, you know, that's absolutely one way of going at it, right? So, you know, you have your day or you have. So my father-in-law actually mentioned like something about dreams a long time ago where he's like, you know, it's just you're working out anxieties in your your own life, right? Like you bring your anxieties into to like, you know, your stress, these stress pockets.
Yeah.
Because there's time, like, I mean, I've had, okay, being a teacher, I've had dreams of me just laying into a kid, you know, to the point where I'm like, we're almost fighting, you know, and these are like real students of mine. You know what I'm saying?
Is
I'm
it,
like,
and is that therapeutic when that happens? Or do I you wake like, up and go, know, and you feel like, shame?
No, I feel like that is in a weird way, a release of a trigger.
To not, you know, have to do it in real life.
So that, and you feel shame, you feel resentment, you feel, you know, you feel those things.
If your unconscious mind was trying, your subconscious mind was trying to tell your conscious mind something without you having to do it,
right,
that's how it would do it. Like, here's a scenario, like fucking chill out, man. Here's a scenario, right, so that like you don't need to.
Totally.
So, and like, the scenarios are the craziest.
It's awkwardly timed. I mean, have you ever had a dream about a, you know, one of your girlfriend or wife having an affair with someone? You know what I'm saying? Or you know, you're, I don't know. People have dreams all the time. Like, oh my God, like I like killed, I like stabbed this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like so mad at him, dude. You know, I stabbed this guy. And you wake up and you're like, holy crap, like I'm not going to touch a knife for like a week, you know? And
this guy talks about how it's like, you know, we're doing what we do when we're awake all the time. We have the capacity for forethought. I'm quoting him. It's going to get cold in the winter, so we better store up for food. All sorts of things we do depend on the capacity to predict the future. I see the mind and the brain as a 24-hour system. And that same kind of preparatory thinking is happening in sleep as awake. So it's like, it's all helping to prepare. I'm like, oh yeah, that, you know, that's a good interpretation.
Yeah, I'm on board with broccoli. Like, I feel like he's, broccoli. That's like, I'm cool with that.
Kelly Buckley. I like broccoli.
Like, isn't Hinduism and Buddhism lightly based on the fact that almost everything we do is a dream? Like,
I mean, that's like a, I don't know. The only thing I know about like Buddhism is like, just, you know, be chill all the time. Like, don't let any of this shit bother you. I didn't know. Maybe it is.
Well,
maybe
you are right about that, because it's all about the levels of existence, and that like you move up and down based on your experience. So it's like, it is compared to a dream, because you can live multiple lives. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, when you get into the multiple lives theory, I'm like, yeah, but how is this different from a dream when you lived a whole life, mm-hmm, and you don't have a recollection of that life? So you get waves of information that aren't just given to you. You lived a whole life and you're not going to remember the life. Like, what that is like a dream, because you don't remember the whole fucking life that you lived already.
Right. You know, and I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that bleeds over well to, you know, when you have something that real, right, and then you dream about something that makes no sense, right, but it still feels that real. That's where you get that dream interpretation, you know. So that's where you get in history, you get like, yeah, people do care. Like, maybe you're insignificant as a regular peon citizen, but
well, have you guys ever,
your dream interpretation helped a shaman come up with you know what? I feel like I'm going to interpret this for you. You dreamed about a floating island with this guy wearing, you know,
dude,
brilliant, shiny.
So interesting that you bring that up, because I always picture evolution from a species standpoint, not from the individual. Mm-hmm. And so to have a shaman that is getting everybody's dreams, mm-hmm, it brings it to another level, because you start to see similarities. And, you know, I know that we see that today because we record dreams and we talk about them and stuff, but like, like people didn't talk about their dreams to other people. They told the shaman. And so the shaman getting everybody's dreams, mm-hmm, and then making statements coming from the standpoint of how is our group going to survive? Not you.
You know what's crazy about that? Like, even if it's not spiritual, it is like a good sort of like, examination of the neuroses of society, right? So like this shaman, like if he like just sort of like did the like the fucking
padding,
trying to find the murderer on the wall thing, and he's connecting like strings to like this shit. And he's like, oh shit, like we need to eat more bananas because everyone is freaked out about not having bananas or something. Like, that's kind of interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, isn't in that way, I mean, we call it academics in the Western world, but isn't that just Freud?
Well, Freud, it's weird because the word academics, probably to every other culture before us, included religion, and now it doesn't.
Right.
That's fine. I'm just saying that, like, we try to act like we're clearly separate, but the people running it are still having their issues with the religion, whatever.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So number two, just to jump, dreams tell you what to do. I know it sounds like number one, but that, you know, mind and the consciousness are not affected.
I'm sorry, this is number four. This is not number two. This is number four. We're counting down to the greatest dream.
You're right.
Whatever.
So number four, though, dreams tell you what to do. This, you know, Rene Descartes, Freud, Jung, this gets into the subconscious.
This is all of it? That's all those guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, loosely, because it's like basically saying that like your dream is somehow trying to communicate to your conscious mind of how you should act or something, that it's like it's a message from the subconscious.
Yeah. So, Jed, you should fucking stab that kid.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was like, just beat the kid up, right? Or whatever. Yell at the kid at school. Yeah, but that seems a little bit.
So this to me is like I have issues with this, because this to me is like the Baptist religion that I grew up with, where it is just like, hey, it says to do this. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, like Bible says that.
But even with those guys, like they didn't have it defined to that extent, did they? Like if you see a shark, it means you need to like eat a peanut butter sandwich the next day.
I think Freud got to that point. And a lot of when you take psychology classes, like they start with Freud and they treat him, everything he said, as fact, you know?
I know that they do, but like there's so many people who talk shit about Freud now.
Yeah,
Well, we all agree that, I mean, I say we all agree. I mean, Jung, who was his understudy, like he's the one that broke ground for me. Like he's, you know, he came up with the hero's journey at the same time that Campbell did, but because he was Jung.
But I don't understand that I've never understood that as a philosophy. Like I'm not living my life like Luke Skywalker. Like I don't have a darkest night of the soul.
Jung's idea. I don't know who bleeds into who now, who was responsible for what, but the idea is that if a society is evolving, then the individual myths for everyone affect the society. And so everyone is supposed to have a different myth because the whole society learns from each individual. But the whole point of an individual experience is for the greater whole. And so that this is crazy to me, because this falls in line with what I think dreams could be. You know, we experience our lives on such an individual perception of the universe. No matter how much you think you know somebody or you get into things, it's like it's still so personal. And no matter how you try to explain your dream to someone, that experience.
I think this is bullshit. Like, I don't agree with this at all, that there's some sort of, that it's some kind of like psychic ability into, it's like an insight into like some way to live your life.
I don't agree with that either. This is me talking shit on it. I'm like,
I know. I'm agreeing with you. Like it's Jad, what do you think? Are you on board with that? Do you think that you can get any insight out of your dreams?
I think you can get something out of it.
You can get insight. That's the wrong word. Do you think you can prognosticate like your life based on your dreams?
Oh man, that is a tough one, because every time I get on a like social media, they're like, follow your dreams. I'm like, okay, I'll hit the kid, you know? And but I think it's just one of those things where I mean, that's a hard one, because, you know, I've had dreams where I've, you know, accomplished something, you know, like I've built something, or there's weird times where, as a teacher, I think your anxiety sometimes gets so high and you're just like, I have to do something. I have to do something tomorrow. I have no plan. I'm stuck in the middle of this formulated lecture of content that I have to give. And I know I need to get to Friday. Yesterday was Wednesday, and tomorrow I got to do something. And then in the middle of the night, it'll just happen.
Okay. I wanted to ask you that, Willie. So Jed's already answered, like, he has found a solution in his dream. I've definitely done that too. I've had like story problems. I'll go to sleep mm-hmm. for 5 minutes and it's like, it's right there. And yeah. then I wake up and go write it down. Like, has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Yeah. On multiple occasions, never when I expect it to, but definitely. Right. And that's the craziest thing to me, because because I've had that experience, that makes me go like, oh, well, not every dream is that. But if you really are
right
asking the universe for a question, you can get an answer to the dream.
Well, let me immediately refute that as the skeptic, like, because it's happened to me, and my sort of explanation for that is never like, oh, some like ethereal thing came and like gave me the answer in my brain. It's just that my brain finally had the time to rest and like come up with the answer. You know what I mean? So like, because I've been thinking about it the whole fucking time.
Well,
so isn't it interesting though, like just the biology of the brain and the connection of neurons to like get pathways to boxes that hold information and whatever. I mean, maybe you've rested enough to be like, allow those neuron connectors. Right. But what really is driving the car? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, this is basically, now we're just talking meditation, right? Because like, that's the whole fucking thing.
I mean, I'm going to try to say this real quick, but this has been the most fascinating aspect of me looking into this, is this idea that, you know how like for years people are like, oh, you only use 10% of your brain. Well, you know what they're finding out now, and that's definitely not true, but like a lot of the brain matter is used to like, and I don't know how aligned this is with the facts of the brain right now, you know, because I definitely am always reading things that are like on the forefront of what's next. And so this idea is that a lot of your brain is used to dampen or filter out electromagnetic radiation, because we are electrical beings at the very the smallest.
Whoa, hang on, did you skip to a different
I mean, I'm just jumping into it. Should I save this for later, because this is a big conclusion?
I mean,
for later.
But isn't that, I mean, so you could save it for later, but like, this is a good entryway, because if it is a conductor of electric, because that's true, I agree that we're just energy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so in a weird way, is that energy, like, is there like that? Is that?
So this is the craziest thing that is blowing my mind. And so number three, I'll say it real quick. It's communication from the unconscious mind. So it still sounds like one and two, one, two, three. I mean, five, four, three.
I wish you wouldn't have just barreled through that. We do need to take a break. Yeah. Do you want to?
Well, that's why I'm like, five, four, three are all very similar. A little different. Communication from the unconscious mind. We've already said that, but we're talking about five and four, you know, but it is. I'll save my shit. Communication.
Now the Legos are spilled all over the floor, and I have no idea how to pick them up. Do you give us a quick, just give us some kind of weird summary, like cliffhanger to get into the break, because we can't leave it like this.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. So number three falls in line with that the brain is constantly working, and that, you know, we haven't evolved to not sleep, you know, so sleeping is a big factor in evolution. Most does every animal sleep, you know, like, and does every animal, when do you start having REM sleep? When you're intelligent, when you have enough brain matter? So I just laugh in my looking at all this stuff, because I would imagine that evolution would make you have to never sleep, because why be vulnerable for 8 hours and to death?
Are we like, so, and it's weird, like, are we even the most evolved, right? Cause like dolphins, they can swim 24 hours. They like have half their brain sleep.
Yeah.
While the other one is keeping them going.
It's fascinating that you brought that up. Yeah. Because
then they can switch.
And like, definitely, you know, think that we're the most evolved, we're the best, but I'm like, that the dolphins work better than us.
But it's weird, because do they dream, you know, like, cause they are highly intelligent. So do they dream, but because they're only doing half brain at a time, you know, that's pretty fascinating.
There's that story of the octopus who climbed out of his cage and unscrewed the light bulb because he did not like that light bulb. Was it because it was keeping him awake?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking to our friend Jed Coley about dreams, man. Inception. We'll maybe get into Inception. We'll get talons. Wait, what are they called? Talons?
Like talons, like talons.
What's the
talons?
Not like claws. Like, what are they?
Talons?
What is his spinny? His top.
That's just the top, right?
A dreidel.
Yeah, it's a top, but what do they call it? Do you guys not know Inception?
No, I do,
His talisman thing, right?
Talisman? They have a name for him. I'm forgetting. I'll look it up over the break, and then we'll come back and get that answer for you. Okay, we'll be right back.
Willie Bad Movies presents D&A Park.
You're never going to believe what I did, Cletus. Marlon, you made dinosaurs from the DNA? Wow, unbelievably shocking. Where did you get the DNA from, Marlon?
I found some in my tar pit. I'm still making more. Plus, I got that old alligator.
Sounds pretty dangerous, Marlon.
No way. Anything can be safe with the proper fence.
A film that started long before man.
Wow, is that a real dinosaur? It's so big.
Does a tree fall in the woods?
But man's greatest discovery quickly turns into their worst nightmare.
Someone betrayed me. All of the gates are open.
I'll bet this gets my park closed down. Damn it.
DNA Park.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We're here talking to our good friend Jed Coley about dreams. And hey, breaking news. I thought of it without having to look it up. The little thing that they use in Inception, they call a totem.
Totem, yes.
Much like the totem pole that used to be by Loveland Lake that was struck by lightning. Or no, that was an Indian. Where's the totem pole?
They moved it out towards the, I think, like the Namaqua area, I think.
Yeah, so it was struck by lightning, right? Yeah, and then they moved it, and it's by a highway now somewhere.
It was kind of rotting. It's just off 287 next to that road that goes to the waterfall or the water plant.
Yeah.
So we had a big – I don't know why we had this. I guess because we're on some kind of Indian land. We had a big totem pole that everyone loved, and it got struck by lightning, and it was rotting, and now it's by a highway. But well, it still exists.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the Loveland Indians just changed their name to the Loveland Red Wolves.
Yeah, Loveland Red Wolves.
Oh, so what's the swag look like? Do you got their logo handy?
I think they're putting money in a artist right now.
So it's currently happening. It's not done.
Yeah, I think it's, well, it's voted on. It's happening. But
the vote just happened.
Yeah, it's passed. And like, I think Bill Reed was the, they were the warriors, right?
Yes.
But now they're the wolf pack.
Oh, so it's wolf themed.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm in a Facebook group that's Old Loveland, and like so many people were like, tradition. We got to be Indians, like blah, blah, blah. And then like a couple people like, Willie, you got to like, you got to say something about this, right? And they say that because I always dress up as the Indian. Not, I mean, I wasn't the mascot, but yeah, yeah.
You open the page, you've opened the first like big leather looking binding of our yearbook, and there's Willie right there in like.
And I'm, but it's funny because so people are like, yeah, you want to help defend this too, right, Willie? Right. I'm like, no, man, like.
Yeah, like the thing that natives open and cringe at, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, seriously. And it's like, I feel weird because being an adult now, looking back at that, you know, you're just like, you know, you're oblivious as a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just, you know, you're kind of like stingy. But as an adult, you're like, wait, you can't see that. I mean, yeah. That's weird. Like, I can.
Well, even... it's not our fault. Like,
no,
we didn't grow up around any reservations or anything like that. So, like, for us, they were like cartoon characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it seems like the adults at the time should have been more like, yeah, okay, maybe this is like not cool.
Mm-hmm. And they came from a leftover time where it's like everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything their parents said was fine. This is the way things are.
Oh, and guys,
I mean, I say that, and there was like, you know, Vietnam and protests and whatnot. Like,
they I mean, I'm in the middle, like being like the, I guess the, you know, when you go to work and you know you're talking about things that these kids could potentially remember for years to come. Like, I'm not saying that like what every teacher says is powerful, but we do remember some things that teachers have said.
Sure.
Like I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times we meet up with friends during like, you know, Willie comes to town and we're with friends and they start talking about stuff that happened that, you know, was 28 years ago in a classroom. And you're like, why is there so much of that, you know, memory,
yeah,
you know, such a really important part to hold on to, you know, and
right,
you're just kind of like, you know, as you move on, you're like, now that I'm a teacher, I'm just like, what I'm saying to the kids, you know, like in 20 years, they'll probably think, whoa, if they can remember the lecture, Coley said like, man, they really, I went to the bank the other day and I got this money. They only gave me $5 back. I was supposed to have, you know, six, they, you know, I feel like I got gypped, right? That seems like a very common terminology, but that's like meaning gypsied, right? That's like, you know, that's not politically correct.
Yeah,
you can't, but the thing is you have to stay ahead of it. It seems like as a teacher.
Well, the gypsy thing is easy for America. I'm sorry. Where's your earbuds? Cause I'm like, I'm hearing myself now. Are they charging?
Mine?
Yeah. Is it who's? It's got to be you.
I put them away.
Oh, we're starting to hear an echo.
Bring them back out.
Well, the thing is before all my, the computer was the only thing that was sending out noise.
Right. What do you mean?
Because it wasn't connecting properly.
Oh, really? Well, I don't know. I just started hearing myself. So maybe it's worked. It's, you can put them away. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they're not really working, but let me see if I can reconnect here. I'll turn off.
Fuck, and I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I was just going to say something about how being a parent is scary because you never know what the kid is going to remember and what it's not.
Yeah.
But Willie, let's move on to, let's get out of this weird area that we're in and talk maybe dreams.
Well, it's great though, because everything we're talking about leads to number two, which is just that dreams are just data. And, you know, our biggest evolution in the mind of recent was when we, in the 1950s, we like started learning about REM sleep, the stages of sleeping, the stages of dreaming. We can dream in other stages, but the REM sleep is the most crucial for the brain. So just the fact that, so number two is that dreams are just data. that nothing to.
Like data in what way? Because like, isn't that the same as like number five?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they're all very similar, even though they say that these are the five leading theories. They all have their little nuances, and I don't have the specifics, but like basically that like it's just data not to be interpreted. You know that like yeah, sometimes you had a day and you had a dream based on the day. Sometimes you have a dream based on. So data is the science way of saying it's just something to be analyzed, but interpretation is not a part of this description. Where it's like, yeah, sometimes you'll get something that seems like a prophecy. Sometimes you'll get something that seems like this. And it's just like, oh, it's just information.
Oh, okay. So it's just like, fuck it. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's just more information.
Yeah, and like why?
Good luck out there, everybody.
Yeah, right. Like what we didn't interpret your last 5 minutes of your life. Like, why is that any different than anything else?
Yeah. Jed, did you figure it out? Are you cool now?
Can you hear yourself like echoing?
No, we're good.
No.
Okay. Well, then all I can hear is basically the computer speaker. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They say they're connected. I don't know what's going on. I think it might be. These are also connected to maybe Mickey's phone.
Wait, Jed, are you in a dream right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could be. I mean, right? That's part of this, right?
You don't have your totem, so you'll never know. Oh, well, let me ask you about that. Well, real quick, have you guys ever lucid dreamed?
Ever what? Lucid?
Have you ever lucid dreamed?
I used to be really good at starting it. But for most of my life, dreaming meant I wasn't awake. And I have always needed to be awake because there's always something I need to do. And so whenever I'm aware that I'm dreaming, I'm like, oh, well, wake up then. And I do. So my, there are tips for lucid dreaming. And we're going to get into that later because I feel like it's time to start taking charge of your dreams.
Oh, well then let's knock out number one. And then I didn't know we were going to get into that.
I will say that. So as a kid, I had the craziest dreams. I had three really reoccurring dreams. Okay. One was this was when I was like maybe, and I know it sounds absurd that someone would remember dreams of a four-year-old, right? But it was so scary. Like I was put in a bag by like a thief or something, and I was just trying to get out. That was one. Okay. Very quick, very odd, whatever. The second one, now this is gonna be really freaky, and this could like add into like dream interpretation or whatever. We lived in this old house. I mean, the thing got, I think, condemned after we moved out because it was so old on one of the worst streets in Oklahoma, this little town. And I had this dream about Beaker, right? The puppet, right?
Yeah.
Sesame Street, Beaker and the professor. What's his name?
I don't know his name.
What do you
mean? I want to say it's Ned or something.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Either.
Yeah. So we'll go with Ned. So they were actually, I would go to a window and Beaker would pop up and do some really freaky thing, and I would run to the next window and I'm trying to get away. And every time I went to a window, Beaker's popping up. And then all of a sudden the professor would come in, whatever Ned would
real
come
quick.
In.
It's Bunsen Honeydew.
Bunsen.
Yes, that's right. And so in my dream, the only logical thing to do was to go to the couch and stand on my head upside down in the middle of the couch with my back leaning up against the back of the couch. I woke up like that. I'm not kidding. My dad came in and woke me up. He's like, what are you doing? So I had this like state of like in between dream or something, but it was a nightmare to me. Right. The third. Yeah, I know. Really weird, but
it's so funny to me. And I'll bet that was a weird concoction of like, remember the aliens? The dip, 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 dip.
Yeah.
They would always come in through windows like that. So I bet you were like combining those two things into one.
Yeah. I mean,
they're very abstract. Yeah.
So that would be like kind of a mirror between those two, like the idea of like, I don't know, information. I don't know. Like that's so weird, but
it makes sense from one, but keep going.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. The third one is a little bit more difficult. So it comes in and out, but it was a reoccurring dream, but I can't remember. I don't know. Like it was So Ghostbusters had just come out, right? And I remember walking down my street sidewalk, and all of a sudden the sidewalk started to go down while the ground was kind of staying up high. So I was kind of like going down below ground, and on there was like all these FBI like pictures of that the girl at there in what's her name at the end of Ghostbusters 1.
Oh, Sigourney Weaver.
No, the girl, the demon girl, the Zool, right? And all of these pictures, different ways, like same person up against a wall, just like, but this picture's far away, this one's up close, this one's from the side, whatever. At the same time, they all looked at me and just screamed. And I was like, oh my God, that was the most frightening thing.
What the fuck, dude?
No, I'm saying like that was the most crazy. frightening thing, and like, and this idea of it reoccurring.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say this idea of reoccurring kind of let me know, like every time I did it, it changed in a way, right? Like I was like, oh, I know this is coming. I'm going to be prepared for this picture. So I'm going to like say something funny to it, and maybe it'll laugh or it won't. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's that idea of like jumping into this, like as I grew up and I started, I mean, that was the progression of those dreams. I started to be like, oh, I can control this. And I remember having a reoccurring zombie dream where at some point I turned around, I was in a tuxedo and I had guns. I'm like, I'm going to shoot all these guys.
So here's the thing. Number one is dreams are your memories in action science is proving that the more you sleep, the better you sleep, the better your memories are. So here's something that I've looked into recently, which is like when you learn something, you attach an emotion to it. And so from everything, from a smell to every fucking thing that you learn, you subconsciously attach an emotion to it. This is good. This is bad. This is whatever. And that's what helps you identify it as a memory, because you have an emotional attachment. You have information and you have your perception, and these things combine and they're stored electrically in your brain. And so dreaming is a way to help support that process. So dreaming is an after effect of things that you're learning and your perception combined. Mm-hmm. So all of your dreams that you're talking about are crazy, because never in the history of humans did we have crazy fucking movies to watch. And now that we do, we're taking like visual information that is like closer to supernatural than anything. It's like we're watching unnatural, supernatural things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when I listen to a podcast, I visualize it. When I watch a play, I sort of like, I don't know if I remember the play so much as the story. Maybe I do remember the visuals more, but like, I don't know that like television is breaking our minds in that way. I think like when you read a book, you kind of play it out like television.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know that these things are, well, I don't know. Go on.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, so this idea is that our perception of the universe and our experience of the universe and our emotions during these times are all coming together. And so I'm not saying that movies and TVs are breaking us. They're just adding information to the dreams that are making them crazier, that actually are only crazier because we watch crazy things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so your memory, I feel like your memory is better because you dreamed. It's like, it's not like we relive the day, which does happen. You know, you can assign your beliefs to your experience of the day, and that all comes together. I'm just saying, like, I do subscribe to the idea that our brains are a 24-hour mind, and that mind includes sleeping. And because we didn't evolve out of sleeping, how the fuck are we still sleeping 8 hours a day? I know that, like, evolution doesn't really work on humanity now because everybody survives no matter what the fuck they eat or do or how they, you know, like, everyone survives. Mm-hmm. So we're now but in the history of mammals, animals, all these things, like, they still need to sleep. And that's crazy because let's say we do leave the earth. We have a biorhythm. We have a cycle of the earth that we're a part of. And let's say we leave that. So here's me going into a new idea that, like, the universe from our earth involves photons. Like light is responsible for our existence. Light feeds the greens that, like, then become our nutrients. Like, it's all about light. It's all about light radiation. And so when you take the universe and you say, we don't even perceive most of the light spectrum, but the light that we do perceive, we only perceive when it is being absorbed. And so photons traveling, we don't see those. As soon as it hits something that can absorb it, that's when we see it. And there's just so many light photons happening that we constantly see everything. So it's weird because our existence revolves around us seeing light being absorbed. And that's a process that's so small. This is me leading to the idea that the entire universe is electrical energy. It's polarized. It's positive, negative, getting stuck together. And when that happens, I only say these things because our dreams are somehow a part of this universe that is electrical energy smashing into each other. And so the idea is that the creation of the life force is constantly happening. And so in this realm, time is not real. Time is relevant to every creation process, which is happening 24/7 in every quantum level. Things are constantly being emitted, radiated, created. And
what is this? Is this your TED talk?
I mean, I guess so, kind of.
What do we?
But no, but I get it. Like, so you're saying basically, you know, like, so light is the foundation of living, right? And with that comes this idea of time, because we do base our time on this idea of light coming in and light going away, right? And then we all, through, you know, the galaxy, we all have different, like, solar light systems and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if this is completely true, but it kind of, like, what you're trying to say, but I feel like, you know, we're arguing the interpretation of dreams, right? And you guys gave me the wow quiz and all of that stuff. But I mean, could we, you know, and based off of Willie's kind of like enlightenment idea of what's happening, right, with the universe, could we say that if there were aliens and they were living on a different planet? Now, I know we've been talking this idea of ancient dreams, and like the first dreams were like an eagle soaring over and grabbing a snake. And they're like,
yeah, the first dream on record is from a Sumerian king.
Yeah. And he's probably just like, yeah, I just dreamed about the ocean and this log's like going by. And I'm like, okay, we're doomed. Watch out, you know? And you're just like, okay, that's really weird. How did you come up with that? Right. But like, now to think of it, like, you're on a different galaxy, different time, different photon, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, do aliens dream? you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do they dream of? You know,
well, like, this whole notion of like evolving beyond dreaming, I don't know that like that's I don't feel like that's, because dreaming is good for you. So you don't evolve beyond things that aren't dreams. Sleeping is have I been saying dreaming this whole time? I meant Willie's whole thing of evolving beyond sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like evolving beyond getting nutrition, right? Because like we have to sleep. You go insane if you don't sleep.
Right, exactly, right.
Everything sleeps. You know, it's crazy that like elephants, well, not elephants, whatever African cows there are, didn't become nocturnal just because the lions are all like nocturnal and they're just probably picking them off. Or what, an antelope? Is that what they, what are the the weird horns?
What is that?
The ones with the straight horns? Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to watch Lion King.
I forget but what it's called. Yeah, yeah.
The leapers. It doesn't matter. I just, yeah. So all that being said, like the reason I thought that up or brought that up was because aliens definitely sleep, right? Unless aliens are like psychopaths or something.
I think that they have to. I mean, like from our perspective, the most complicated thing in our universe, in the history of humans, what's the most complicated thing in the world that we've seen or whatever? It's the human brain, you know?
Yeah.
The human brain is the most complicated thing that we can perceive. And
yeah, but according to us, tentacles, man? Those things are fucking crazy.
Well, tentacles are crazy because they all have their own brains. But so like,
but also controlled by an octopus brain or octopi.
Right. But
sure octopus are aliens.
According to us, the most complicated thing in the world also happens to be the most intelligent thing in the world. Not to say that we're in the universe, not to say that we're right, but we think we are the smartest things that have ever existed. And we perceive our perception. And
right. But of course we do. I mean, isn't that just us? To fucking be as narcissistic, yeah, right? Don't you think the sun is more complicated? Do we know what the sun is?
Yeah, no. I mean, like to me, so like, yeah, that leads me to go like, well, I'm pretty sure a black hole is more complicated than a human brain, and we will never understand perceive it properly.
But and I don't. Like, I don't think if, that's what true.
What if a black hole is?
Actually, no, I'm kind of with you, Jed. I don't believe that either.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, the sun seems like a ball of gas, right? And then a black hole seems like a dense succubus of, you know.
Yeah.
But when you, I mean, like when you, well, whatever. I won't get into gravity. So
here. Yeah. That's all beside the point.
Here's the thing. So taking dreams, taking the human mind, the human brain, taking consciousness. And I start, and it makes me go like, I start to think that consciousness might, you know how like, I always talk about consciousness and it's so broad that it's easy to say like, oh, the Dalai Lama said this about consciousness. And it's like, well, if something has consciousness, what if there are levels of consciousness, right? So like when you start to look at people that have schizophrenia, this is crazy because what they're finding out about them is that, so like there are certain like noise makers that like if you give to somebody with a normal brain, their brain will listen to the noise and then it'll eventually like change the tone of it. Because it's dampening out the sound, because it's like, well, it's like filtering out the radiation that it doesn't need. And so they're thinking that like people with schizophrenia don't have this thing that like filters out stuff that's harming their brain. And so when they get this weird tone, it doesn't change because their brain isn't dampening it. So they're actually like, I mean, if you think of it, the whole existence of the universe is only radiation. If we could see the most minuscule thing in the universe, we would just see different versions of radiation. Lights hitting something that's being absorbed, light radiation,
electromagnetic. Right, you're back to the radiation. Lights thing. So
yeah.
But I like I kind of like how you brought up the schizophrenic like mind, because in a weird way, so we're talking about dream interpretation. Are they real? Are that, you know, what's this like middle point, right? But in a weird way, that kind of seems fascinating to think. When you think about the idea of like what schizophrenia may be, is this inability to decide, like not control that brain function of what's reality and dream state?
Yeah. And you know, you always hear schizophrenics talking about having a microchip in their brain. And so that idea is that they can't filter out all their brains are actually so overstimulated.
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's like, maybe I cut you off too early, but like, yeah, it's like it goes back to that old fucking wives' tale of like, we only use 10% of our brains, but like, that's not true. We're only processing a certain amount of like what our brains can actually do. Like our brains are kind of always doing a bunch of shit that we don't know what's happening. Yeah. So like, I think like, have you ever heard voices? Am I about to be very vulnerable right now?
I've heard voices.
I mean, so I'll hear music. If it's quiet in my house, I'll hear like old music playing.
Is it music that exists or is it?
No, it's new? It's kind of like old timey, you know, but there's something about that. It's like, do I have like, what is it?
Tinnitus
or whatever they call, you know, yeah. But the thing is like, I've had it since I was a kid. You know, we had this conversation at the very beginning of this, like, do you believe that some people have connections to other things? And it's like, well, I've kind of like, I feel like maybe I don't, but like, I know people who in my family who are very like connected to all that stuff. And I also feel like, you know, as a child, more so than I do as an adult, like I had all these like really vivid sound, like real things, like passing through my parents' bedroom and hearing growling under the bed, you know, like weird shit like that. So
really,
yeah, like all kinds of, but you know, I was raised.
So not just music, just like weird.
But that was a kid. I was a kid, like really big imagination. Right. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But that's brain development, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that all neurologically fall into dream state kind of stuff? You know,
I mean, probably. Is there a growing pain for the brain? Right? Also, Growing Pain for the Brain is the name of my next album.
Dude, that's amazing.
It's really good. Well, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So like the idea is that the reason why schizophrenics feel like they might have microchips in their brain is because their brain's so overstimulated that they can actually perceive that they can't handle the amount of information that's coming in. And they're like, man, there must be a chip in here because there's just too much. There's too much stuff. And so one idea that is kind of on the radical side of things now about brain mass is that your level of consciousness is related to your brain mass, your brain function, your brain. So it's interesting to imagine levels of consciousness based on how good your brain is. And when I take that information, I go, oh, well, yeah, you know, like can a rock have consciousness? Well, the answer is yes, but is it anything close to ours? No. Well, I mean, like these processes that lead us to have consciousness happen on the cellular level.
I don't know, man. I don't. Maybe Jed, can a rock have consciousness? I say no.
I mean, I have a hard time believing that, but I think as a statement of like, you know, example, I think it could be appropriate in this idea of like, you know, everything's connected. But I mean,
everything in theory is fine, but I just don't.
Right.
If a rock has consciousness, then God, if you believe in God, is the worst person in the world.
Well, my perspective is that creation, things that are like, if you take the universe on the smallest level, I know that we have plenty of life here, but I think that there are pockets of places that have plenty of life. And so like, this, like, we don't perceive things on the microscopic level, but that we are an expression of the microscopic things happen. And so, I mean, like, picture us individually. We are all so different. We all come from different bloodlines, family lines, but we're all similar enough to have the same perceptions. And, you know, when I mean, like, my parallel is all these animals that, like, when they're born, they know everything they'll ever need to know.
Right. You know, like spiders and stuff like that.
Giraffe is born. It can run, walk. It knows how to eat. It knows to run right away. And all it needs to do is survive. And so when I picture the evolutionary process of survival, it's like perception of the process must be a part of the evolution.
Well, I mean, so, and, you know, going back, you know, evolution and the human brain and all that stuff, like, so, you know, like Stephen Hawking, right? I mean, this guy had Lou Gehrig's disease for his whole life, right? Where most people would be diagnosed and live 5 years, right? Something like that.
That's, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's shorter than what he did for sure.
Well, yeah, he lived a full life, right? And like, so Robin Williams, for instance, right? There's another example of a brilliant mind, right? Like someone who has an exceptional mind of, you know, compartmentalizing and understanding and connectivity and, you know, all this power, this brain power, let's just put it that way, right? Mind, body, all that kind of stuff. Also lived with something that, you know, when people are diagnosed with, couldn't function at the level that they were able to for so long, right? So there's this idea of like brain power, like, you know, when you get to a level of, you know, connecting and like consciousness and all of these things, right? Is it really kind of like those who have the most, you know, they have the most capability of like controlling their mind, controlling maybe, putting together dream state kind of things, end up being a little bit more, you know, in the real world, like in physical world, right? Being a little bit more sustainable, right? So I have this kind of weird idea of like, people who tend to be able to recall their dreams a little bit more, and I'm just going to throw out there, are the ones who are kind of like making a little bit of history. You know, like I'm going to say something. Well, let's go down music. Like Paul McCartney had a dream about his mom who is named Mary, and he creates a song based on it because she says, hey, you know, I know you're stressed about that stuff. You just got to let it be. You just got to move on. It is what it is. And he creates the song Let It Be because of this dream that he has about his dead mother, right?
And so, he also wrote Yesterday in his dream. Like he woke up singing Yesterday and was like, this has to be a song, and it wasn't a song.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, like, so all of this stuff, you know, coming down this consciousness and brain power and all of these, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it is. I'm a believer, right? So I believe that it's, you know, dream state has, you know, like, you know, it has productivity attached to it. You know, I believe that it goes there. I believe it leads.
Yeah.
I believe it gives us a little bit of conscious and an anxiety release. I believe that it maybe lets us dream about the things that we're not capable of doing, you know, like the vacation or the, you know, all that stuff. The one thing I kind of wonder, you know, with that is the opposite of, do dreams have consequences? You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you guys this. Sorry to cut you off, but like, have you guys ever dreamed of something that wasn't real? Meaning like, why can't we dream about physical states of matter that don't exist? We can only dream based on what we've perceived so far. Like, sure, our situations are new to us.
I mean, that's like kind of a good point, because then it means that like there's nothing like sort of like
we're not getting new information from aliens or anything.
We're not getting new info. Yeah. So dreams are only what we're processing. And so there is no like kind of like higher power at work when it comes to dreams.
Like what if you, I don't know if you guys have heard of this idea, but there's this idea out there that a lot of people have dreamed of the same guy and they don't know it. And I think that that's just an advertising campaign. So then
wait,
when you
hang
see
on,
the
though.
Face.
I did have a dream when I was a kid about like I was holding a pebble in between my fingers, and it was so small that I could like roll it in my fingers. And then all of a sudden it was giant. Does that mean anything? Could that be a different state of matter? Like something that, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just trying to think of like if I ever had weird dreams that like would enlighten me in some way other than like the world that I perceive.
You have the world.
Yeah,
the
because
palm
like
of
your recurring dreams.
You're a little oyster, and your little pearl will be as big as you can make it, as long as you nourish it.
Well,
also I remember my mom and my sister and one of my sister's friends talking about big little dreams. And I have no idea what that means. Maybe it's an Alice in Wonderland thing. I don't know, because I didn't understand what they were talking about then. And then when I grew up and asked them about it, they had no idea what I was talking about. So I don't even know if that's a real memory or not.
Maybe that's
But they all knew. They were like, big little dreams. Yeah, big little dreams.
I've mostly had nightmares, and I've had so much anxiety in my life that I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, this is me trying to deal with my anxiety. You know, like I've had nightmares that are embarrassing. Like I've been raped in a dream.
Oof. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, what the fuck?
Like I said, I think that's that anxiety thing, right? Like, I mean, that just falls in my thing. Like if you have a fear of that, that might be something that you would probably dream about.
But I don't have a fear of that, but I don't know, whatever. So here's the thing. This is the spin.
Wait, I'm spinning now.
Yeah. This is me spinning, going like the last thing is like, nobody fucking knows what dreams are, but there are people that have lucid dreams. And I've, you know, like here are some tips, you know, like what's the word you said for the top?
The totem.
Totem. Yeah.
Totem. It is actually worth it to create your own totem, because if you have a totem, it's the best way to jump into a lucid dream. We're very capable of this. And so why not train yourself to have a lucid dream and then just see what happens there? Because our exploration of the dream world is probably more beneficial to our life than the real world. Because What are you going to do in the real world? Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like,
I don't agree with that. You know that everyone's just going to go fuck.
Well, yeah, but
if you control your dreams, you're just going to go fuck.
But go try to meet an alien and fuck them.
There you go.
But you might actually have a perception in the dream state that it actually connects to something that.
Well, define a totem, because I've seen. Every hour, look at your watch, snap a rubber band or whatever.
Yeah.
Like so, I've seen, if you're ever in a dream, look down at the carpet, get as specific on the carpet as you can.
So
I think that's to stay in a,
most lucid dreams happen when people wake up from deep sleep and then go back to sleep. So what they say is set one alarm for an hour and a half to 2 hours after you go to sleep, because an hour and a half is when you fall into REM sleep. And so,
yeah,
this is
for people who don't have sleeping problems. Horrible idea.
You're saying like you, while you're awake, you set an alarm for an hour and a half after you try to
wake yourself up during REM sleep. If you can wake up during REM sleep, and then go right back to sleep, that's when people have the most success in having lucid dreams.
Okay.
And then when you go to sleep, you're like aware of it, and you're so tired that you're going to fall back asleep. So it like allows you to be in control.
I'm telling you right now, like you're a father of a 2-year-old kid, right? Almost three, right?
Yeah.
And that's your alarm clock, right? So I feel like I've been in a state, you know, I've got the three kids. I think in a weird way, right? Being in this state of fatherhood, like a young child fatherhood, maybe there's something to say there, right? Like, can you recall any, have your dreams gotten crazy?
No, but Shauna had a dream that she felt like Moose was conscious in, and she asked him about it. And he was like saying the things that made her think that he was aware of being there.
But I'm like, that's what I'm saying is like, you know, as parents to young children, and you're never sleeping through the night, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're a good sleeper or a bad sleeper.
Like, what if for parenting we were supposed to meet our kids in their dreams? I don't know. But so just real quick, like if you make a totem for yourself and it happens in a dream, like it will help you. So like my thing is I always check my watch every hour. I don't wear a watch. And so in a dream, I'll check my watch and be like, oh, I'm wearing a watch. I'm dreaming. And that'll immediately like be like, oh, I'm dreaming. And then I get to take charge. And most of the time I'm like, well, wake up then, because you got shit to do. I got to get out of that mindset. But that's one. One is
what?
To try to.
That's what you do? Jesus Christ.
I know. It is depressing. But I'm like, you know, I could be. I've always been. Anyways.
That's impressive though.
So that's one thing. And another thing is try to read pages. Always try to read pages. You know, if you see text, read it. Because if you're awake, sure, there's text here. If you're asleep, the text won't make sense. You need clues to tell yourself that you're not awake. So the watch, reading things, checking the clock. And then when you do get there, try to fly right away. As soon as you know you're dreaming, try to fly, because it might not last long enough.
But wait,
I'll try that.
So that's just a tip on how to have fun.
You can continuously do this, eventually you will control your flying, and then you can like flying takes you out of it so quickly that, only if you can fly can you really like explore the universe from the dream state, you know? So flying is the first step.
I mean, I don't know. You don't have to whatever. Having a lucid dream is fun. I don't think you need to put all this importance on it of like, there's more to find. Like, that's all bullshit.
My dream is to always meet someone in the dreams. Like if we could be ourselves in the dream state, then it's just like creator's paradise.
How meet them in person? Like what? Why, how is that better?
I could present a dragon to you that could suck its own dick and then try to make you laugh from, but I don't know.
Would wake up and be like, oh, cool. Dude, all right, let's go to our fucking jobs at 7-Eleven.
This is what you showed me. That's what you wanted to show me. And I can't I'm not that connected. Like I can't do the totem thing like that. As a child, I think I was able to do that. But as an adult, I'm just so thankful to just be asleep that I'll take whatever comes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, you know, I have nightmares, anxiety ones too, like horrible, horrible, like my children, blah, 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 all that stuff. But like, you know, there's that point where it's like, okay, I know this is definitely not real, but I don't immediately start transforming like, okay, I know this isn't real, so let's try to just do something cool. And I think that might be, maybe that's something that you know,
but you haven't ever
spread, like go off of, like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you should do that.
Like attempt to try to do that. I mean, if I guess the lesson here for me is like, you know, it doesn't matter, like dream interpret through history, dream interpretation could have developed, you know, like these senses of warning, right? Like the Native American, like dreaming about you know, the Europeans coming over. And this is, you know, I mean, there's been stories of this, but it did stop it from happening. No, it did not, you know, and all of this
right,
stuff.
Yeah. Like,
there's did this, it help them survive more? No, yeah. You know, and
here's the thing. It's like, here's all the inevitable, like these are things, but like in the physical world, whatever, it's going to take place. But, you know, the moment you start realizing that it could be fun and that you can start doing anything you want, you know, maybe that's the kind of like the end result. It's like, you know, who really cares as long as you can like somewhat control a little bit of what's taking place, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my whole thing. Like, I really don't feel like these are clues or anything like that. I think it's just like, it's just decompressing, you know, it's just like, holy shit, I've been stimulated for fucking 18 hours and now, you know, just that, I mean, you know, I agree with number five or whatever. That was just like, all right, this is like categorizing all of my thoughts for the day. And, you know, fuck dreams. Dreams are just dreams. They're just.
Have you ever had like a deja vu dream? Has that ever happened to anybody?
I think
the only time I ever did was when I listen to the radio and then hit snooze without knowing that I hit snooze. And then when I woke up and heard some more news, it was like, oh, weird. I dreamed about that, but it was because I was already hearing it.
So yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like it was just already something taking place. What about you, Willie? Did you,
I've had deja vu dreams. I mean, ultimately I think that whatever life is, it's probably not supposed to be anything, but because we don't perceive the molecular level of existence, like we don't have to, but it makes me go like in the dream state, it's so abstract that we actually have a chance to explore things that we can't perceive with our quote unquote physical senses. And so I'm like, I question if we're supposed to be perceiving the universe through the dream state and we just aren't, because you know what I mean? It's like, what if you didn't know you had a window to look through and you always were looking this way and you didn't know all you had to do was turn around. We just didn't know how to turn around and nobody ever talked about it and didn't ever happen. And nobody's ever talking about
it. I mean, my whole thing with that is like, you can't trust any of that. It's just your brain making it up.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
You're not exploring anything. It's just your brain like giving you shit to explore.
I do agree with that too. That like, if you come up with something that doesn't make it real because you perceive it, cause it's not a real perception, but it always makes me go like, well, if there were intelligent beings that lived for millions of years, what if the only way that we could contact them was through the dream state because our physical perceptions are shit, we're pieces of shit, nobody wants to get close to anybody.
Now you're
I'm coming up with a new topic, but yeah.
Well, I mean, could you say, and I know I'm kind of like jumping off this, and it's also another topic.
No, it's fine. It's just we're really long and we have another episode to do. So like, how long are we going to talk about this?
Oh, I was just, yeah, you know, you guys.
No, Jed, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Willie.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying like, so if we have like the Mayan temples of like Mexico and, you know, all those being erected the same time as like the Egyptian temples. You know,
yeah,
the design is eerie, you know, it looks pretty close, you know.
I think that they were built at the same time because the world was connected. That's what I think.
Yeah, so therefore, like, it was that through dream state or was that through, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could argue alien, you could argue, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
I always wonder if all of these ancient, like, you know, there's all these old hieroglyphs and old cave drawings of like, look, this looks like an alien. And I'm like, why would you draw? I mean, you know, whatever. I don't know anything. I'm like, sure, you would draw a cow to prove you could draw a cow. But what if you drew an alien because you dreamed of it, not because you saw it? Like, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, like, I've never contemplated cave drawings being of dreams. I'm like, oh, that makes sense too. That's a possibility. It doesn't mean, you know, Ancient Alien says like, look, they saw the cow, they saw the alien. Here's both. And I'm like, they also had dreams.
Yeah.
And they were afraid of things, and they were more, probably more afraid of things back. Whatever.
I bet if we had taken some more time and investigated, you know, I kind of disagree. I believe that there is a lot of information out there with dreams. I bet there's a lot of journals. I bet that there's a lot of stuff.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I could find stuff, but like, most of the things I find were people reporting or recording on the dream. So like, you'd like have to read a book to find out about the dream that I wanted to talk about, but they're out there.
That's just too much, but it's a tough topic, but still fascinating. You know, it's really crazy. So Wade, what's up? What do you want to do?
I mean, those are my closing thoughts. I'm whatever I opened up.
Your closing thoughts are bringing up an entirely new.
Yeah. Because to me, no matter what anybody says about a fucking dream, they don't know shit. I don't know. Dreams are fucking crazy. That's all.
Chad, what is it? I mean, basically, I've said my piece. I think dreams are the brain's way to cycle through the day and make sense of it, store memories. The reason I have bad memories is because I drink too much to ever have dreams. What do you think? What are dreams?
I really do think that dreams can impact an individual to do stuff. I really feel like, you know, you have a dream about being on a beach, you might want to like go on a vacation. I feel like if you have a dream about, you know, an anxiety dream to like that, where you're causing harm on people, that it might affect you to not cause harm. I feel like there's, you know, I think there's a consequence to it. I feel like there is a purpose to it, but I'm not sure that it's completely directed through some sort of spiritual state, you know? So I'm kind of going to meet you guys halfway on this one. I'm going to be a number three, I believe.
Okay.
Because I do think that, like, as much as, you know, we do have events taking place that have probably impacted history more than we believe. Like, I mean, we could go to, you know, Roman Empire. We could do, you know, Genghis Khan. We can do all of these things, which do have documentation of, like, I had a premonition. I had this, you know, this daydream or night dream, it doesn't matter, about doing this or that. And it then, you know, prompted them to like do great things. Right. In a way I believe that dreams are a motivator. Right. I refuse to think that they're just like a summarization. I don't think that it's like a test. Like, your brain is giving you a test at the end of the day to say, like, did you capture everything that occurred in your moment of life today? I believe it is something that, like, is, you know, not only like a life, like physical expectation, but also what could be. And I believe the people who...
So basically, I'm sorry.
Well, the people who have the ability to materialize the dream, that's probably what makes them exceptional, right? That's what deciphers, you know, the
dream. It's like intuition. You just think it's like it's an insight into intuition. It's a way to like use your brain to know more about how to do stuff. So
well, you said,
cause I'm
you
know, saying, it's a, I'm saying it's a file cabinet. Willie's saying it's a way to talk to aliens or whatever he's saying. And you're saying like, no, it's like you can get shit out of it, but not necessarily talking to aliens.
Yeah. I don't think you're getting like advice from a third party. Right.
Yeah. And
right.
My thing wasn't necessarily, I know I brought up aliens, but my thing is like, it's just another way to perceive the universe that isn't our physical senses.
And I'm not like I'm not disagreeing with that. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more than, you know, a plain Jane, you know, like this is like, let me review the notes of the day. I do believe it's more than that. Right. And then I do think that it's not like, you know, Wade, you're going to like come haunt me in my dreams tonight. Right. Like, but it is this idea of like, you know, maybe there is this idea of like, you know, my anxiety, as my day progresses, and I do get impacted by other individuals like you two right now. I may dream about you guys in like a way a conversation could have been way more funny or way more intellectual.
Oh, if only. God, this podcast would be great.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, but you know, I mean, would it be though? Is that the premise of the show? You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I'm saying though. Is like we could actually talk about that, you know, and like, you know, like it could change in the dream and be like, oh, I could have gone down that pathway. So, you know.
All right. Try to figure out how to record your dream and then we can air that instead. We can air like the funny version of this.
Oh, I wish. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Remember, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Become a friend of Charquan. And Jed, thank you so much for being here. I know that you're just a teacher in Loveland, Colorado, but do you have anything to plug? Any, I mean, charities, fucking, you know, anything?
No, I'm a pretty much stay at home, like, haven't gone out and done much. So no charities, just, you know, you guys, you know, thanks for having me on here. And, you know, it was a pleasure, just trying to, you know, keep up with you guys and your,
yeah, man, it's good to see you. You're like, I'm glad that I have so many friends like you that are like, we could go years without actually talking to each other. And it's like, we just pick right back up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's really, I don't know. It's kind of, that is a weird thing, isn't it? Like that you can do that. I don't know. That's something else, right? That you can hold on to.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to continue talking about this, you can do so on the bonus episode. So, if you have any interest in listening to these two guys talk about their friendship, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Thanks for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.